You know, one of the things that I would like to talk about today is that in the Bible, you know, God tells the true believer, or He gives the true believer many assurances that when we truly become a child of God, and somebody, God has done a work of salvation in someone's heart, that person is truly saved. Because God has truly saved that person, God has given us many assurances in the Bible that we are safe and secured in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, to know that when God has truly saved us, that we are saved eternally. And as true believers, we desire this for our loved ones. And our heart goes out to them. And it makes it more difficult that you have to live with this person. And you see their rebellion against God. And it grieves the true believer. But we know that when we are saved, we are secured in Christ. You know, we don't have to be afraid of May 21st, 2011. Many people are worried about that. True believers have nothing to worry about. If you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, remember that beautiful passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And this is a great assurance to us. We don't have to be afraid of the earthquake on that day. It's going to be an earthquake that this world has ever seen. It won't be an earthquake like that. And until that day, we don't have to fear the earthquake because God is in control. We hear God tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." There are going to be plenty of true believers here when God comes, still living, that have never died physically. He says, as it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." So whether the true believer experiences a second of the earthquake or whatever it is, we don't have to fear that day, the true believers. But those who are not saved, they should fear that day. They should be terrified of it. But God tells us in the Bible that unsaved man doesn't fear God. When you tell them about giving this information about May 21, it doesn't register. It just goes right over their heads because some people laugh at it, they scoff at it, you name it. But for the true believers, there's nothing to fear about that day. Nothing at all. Whether he momentarily experiences a second of the earthquake, he's going to be changed just like that. In his glorified spiritual body, and he's going to be caught up to be with Christ. But for the wicked, the ones who remain, they should be terrified. They may not fear now. You know, they may not fear now, but in the judgment day, May 21, he will fear. He will be frightened. Because you're talking about Almighty God, who's going to turn his attention to punish those who are left behind. They will fear. But all hope is gone then. There's no possibility of salvation. He's going to have to face the wrath of Almighty God. What will that be? We don't know. We don't know, but we know it's going to be a horrible thing because when you look at Psalm 2, in Psalm 2, verse 4, here we're reading this one verse among many. In Psalm 2, verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." It's going to be a terrible time for those who are left behind to face the wrath of God. Now this world is going to become hell. It's going to become a curse. You know, it's a curse now, but there's blessings. But on May 21, you know, Where are you going to get food from to eat? Where are you going to get all these physical blessings from God? It's no longer there. God now is finished with man, so to speak. Well, he won't completely be finished until October 21. But here, He's done with you. Now he's going to pour out his wrath, and we could see the devastation of an earthquake. And if you want to frighten an unsaved man, one of the things is an earthquake. He says he's not afraid, but let an earthquake would strike Delaware and this earth start to shake. Oh man, the unsaved man, he's beside himself because he sees his hope and his dreams are falling up, is crashing down on him, and he stands there in fear of because his all his dreams, his aspirations are in this life, and here it is, he's going to be destroyed. But that day of judgment, he will be afraid, and there is no hope for him then. But let's turn over to Romans. Here God has given us, the true believers, great assurances, and God just goes on and on and on about how safe we are in Christ. When God has given you a new heart, when he saved you, we are safe and secured in Christ. He says in Romans 8, another familiar passage, in Romans 8, verse 35, he tells us, and he says, verse 35 in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a question. If you're truly saved, what is in this life could ever, ever separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. And God is going to list all these things. He says, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, you know, death is something that is an enemy of mankind. You know, you ever hear people when you're sick or is in an accident and this, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. Why is that? People always say, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. I'm saying, man, I want to die. And death is an enemy of us, of mankind. He says, and God, he starts us here by telling us, started by saying death. Nothing is going to separate us from Christ. The true believer, as we know, when the true believer dies, instantly in their spirit, they go home to be with Christ. The physical body is dead. You know, it's a curse of God. It goes back to the grave and it decays. And if God has given us assurance of physical death and says, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. What a comfort the true believers could take in these verses. That nothing in all of earth, no matter what you could think of, once you're truly saved, we're saved forevermore. So it's no need for us to fear judgment day. You know, which true believers shouldn't. You see, we look forward to that day. Because throughout the Bible, God has been speaking about this one day. This one day when our salvation will be completed, and we will be with Christ forever. And how wonderful that is. And the true believers, we take great comfort in God's Word. Because God's Word is a comfort to us. If you look at Psalm 119, it's not a study in comfort, but let's look at a couple of verses about how the true believers, because God's Word is truth to us. You know, it's absolute truth. It is not something that God has the ability and the power to bring to fruition, to completion, his promises to his people. And it's absolute truth. He's going to do what he says. No question. And the true believers, we trust that with all our heart because God has given to us a new heart. In Psalm 119, verse 49. Psalm 119, verse 49, we're going to read a few verses. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So the true believers, because God's word is our hope, Christ is our hope, and you can't separate the word of God from Christ because he is the word of God. And verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. See, that's the word of God to the true believer. Spiritually, it's made us alive. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Jehovah, and have comforted myself. True believers, we take great comfort in God's word because we rest in his word. You see, the word of God is truth, and we love it. You see, because God has given to us a brand new heart, that we are going to love the Bible. You read through Psalm 119. You read through the whole 176 verses, and we should ask ourselves, how do I relate to that? Do we love the Word of God? Do I delight myself in Christ? And that's what the believer delights in. He delights in God's Word. He delights in doing what God says. And you could just read through the whole thing, the whole chapter. You see how true believers, how we delight in the Word of God. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. Here he says, "For whatsoever things were written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort," see that word comfort of the scriptures, "might have hope." See, the comfort of the scriptures, the word of God, we have hope. Because we know that God's word is absolute truth. See, now the God of patience, in verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this God goes on. You see, we take great comfort in the Word of God because it is true. It is true. What He says He will do, His promises to His people, He has written it in the Bible, and He will do it. God, in other parts in Hebrews, God tells us it is impossible for God to lie. So when He declares Judgment Day and the month and the day and the year, it is so. It is so. You know, God even tells us in the Bible about we're not supposed to trust our own understanding. Don't trust your own heart. Don't trust your own thoughts or ideas. We're sinners. Don't do it. We only put our trust in God's word, the Bible. We don't trust a man. We don't trust anyone. We trust God because God is true. The word of God is absolute truth. And in what he says he will do it. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." See, no matter what you're going through in your life, could be an illness, or you're in a difficult situation, or no matter what it is, God, He is the God of mercies and the God of all comfort. We go to God's word for strength and for comfort, and we're comforted in it. In verse 4 it says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulations." You know, the world doesn't have the word of God, unsaved man. He doesn't go to God's word for comfort when he's going through difficulties in life. He goes through whatever he goes through to alcohol or whatever he goes through for comfort. And that's not going to help him. But the true believers, we go to Christ for comfort. And it says, verse 4 again, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You see, we're comforted of God through His Word by sitting at the feet of Christ and feeding on the Word of God. And we have great comfort and delight in God's Word. And verse 5 says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." And whether we be afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effectual in enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So we take great comfort in God's Word, the Bible. There's great hope in God's Word, the Bible. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, another familiar verse to us. And God here is speaking about, as you start, maybe you started reading in verse 14 on down, he speaks about the day of judgment, how the true believers are going to be resurrected to life and so forth. And at the end he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The great day is coming when our salvation will be completed. And look how close it is now. Look how close the salvation of the true believers are almost completed. A little, about 180 days or less. 100 and something, 180. At least. 6 months to the day. Oh, yeah, exactly 6 months to the day. Oh, look how close we are. That our salvation is going to be completed. And we will be with Christ forevermore. We take great comfort in that. That our salvation is soon to be completed. But we know that, you know, this was not studying comfort, but here God tells us, and to go back to the topic of how we are eternally secured in Christ, you know, and God, back in Noah's day, those who he listened to, although he warned the people of that day, they didn't listen, and then God prepared the ark, and how Noah's family were saved in the ark, the picture of Christ. See, the true believers, we don't come into condemnation. We're safe and secured in Christ. You know, we don't. It's a wonder, one of the beauty of May 21st is, although all this destruction is going to happen, true believers won't be here to see it. They're going to be taken out right away. And that is so. And throughout the Bible, before God brings destruction, he always takes his people out. And it's a great example to us. The flood of Noah's day was an example. Sodom and Gomorrah was an example. Lot came out. He was a true believer. He didn't get caught up in overthrow, Sodom and Gomorrah. And before he brings destruction, God always takes his people out. He warns them, and he takes them out. You see, he takes them out. And it's a picture of us being safe and secured in Christ. We don't come into condemnation because we know now, before the foundation of the world, that God already had paid the penalty for our sin. And we're saved. And God just goes on and on in the Bible. These are just a few verses I'm going to look at, how God tells us that how safe we are in Christ. It's amazing. He doesn't say it once in the Bible. He says many, many, many times throughout the Bible how the true believer is safe and secure. They'll have nothing to worry about as far as coming into judgment day. Nothing. We are eternally secured in Christ. And God just goes on and on and on to tell us that. I'm trying to skip over some things, and when I skip over things, I get in trouble. And so, you know, you have your things lined up a certain way. When you skip over it, you get into trouble. Let's look at John 10. Let's go over to John 10. John 10, verse 22. John 10, verse 22. Start reading in verse 22. John 10, started reading in verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. You know, Christ says, I told you. And he believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You know, people are having trouble with May 21. Don't believe it. God is telling you, you're not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe it. It goes on in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. True believers. It's God's going to say, you give them spiritual ears to hear. They will hear. You see, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. God knows all of his elect, you see. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We will never perish, the true believers, because God has given them eternal life. See, he saved them, and he knows each one of his people. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See the assurance there God has given to us? No one is going to snatch us away from God. It's impossible. Because God says he has given to us eternal life. We shall never perish. The unsaved will. They will perish forever. They're going to be destroyed no matter who you are. You could be a child or an adult. It makes no difference. You see. But the true believers, they will never perish. And you see how God's emphasizing that? He knows them. They will never perish. And no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. When you're saved, God has gotten you. That's it. He can't lose you. It's impossible. You can't fall away. You know, the church has coined this phrase that you could possibly could fall away. Well, you were never saved to begin with. But here God has told us no one is going to snatch us away from God. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, or whatever it is in this life. It will never snatch us away from Christ because he has us. God, Holy Spirit, indwells us. He's given us a new heart. All these things he tells us. Is that God does keep going on and on and on to tell us. All these things. And God is who? God is almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. He's all-powerful. And he's given us all these assurances to tell us. It will never happen once you become a child of God. It will never happen. He will never lose you. He will never forsake you. No matter what you're going through in this life. And this life is difficult at best. No matter what trials you're in, you name it, God will never forsake his people. Because look what's ahead. The action is not in this life, it's on the other side. It's on in the new heaven and new earth, where this world will be forgotten. You see how unimportant this life is, that God tells his elect that when we get to heaven, this world will not come into mind anymore. See how unimportant the riches and whatever this world has to offer us is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The little trials we go through in this life compared to the new heaven and new earth, it doesn't compare. It will not enter in our minds. This world will be completely erased from our minds. It's all gone. Wow. You see the wonderful blessings that lay ahead for God's people. And you know how we desire this for our loved ones, and they can't see for dust. They can't understand it because they have a spiritually dead heart, and we can't save our loved ones. But you see how God tells us there that no one can pluck us out of God's hand. We're secured in Christ forever. That word pluck is used in Matthew 13, as no one can remember the seed, the sower, the seed in Matthew 13. It's translated that way in Matthew 13, verse 19. Matthew 13, verse 19. There we read in the parable of the sower of the seed. In Matthew 13, verse 19, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away. It's the same word as pluck. And no one can snatch us out of God's. He can't pluck us away from God's hand. He has us. You see, we can't lose it. That's the same word as pluck. We can't lose our salvation whatsoever. And God goes on to tell us, and He used other phrases to tell us in the Bible how safe we are in Christ. If you look at Luke, turn over to Luke chapter 10, it goes on to give us more information. Let's start at verse 17. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, here God sends out the 70 to bring out the gospel. And says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them," this Christ said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not," verse 20, "that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And when did God place our name there? His people. From way in eternity. You know, we're known in the infinite mind of God from way in eternity. But He tells us that our names, God's elect, their names are written in heaven. God has placed it there. You see how safe and secured we are? That our names are placed there in heaven. But as you know, we know that God had to create a world and bring us in this world and so forth. And we had to be born to our parents, and whatever year you were born, if you're a child of God and all these things, He worked it out in time. And He tells us these things. And look at John 14, another verse there in John 14, verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Speaking to the true believers. We don't have to worry about things, you know. We don't have to worry. If you're a child of God, all is well, you know. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And He says, "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may be also." You see the promise, the security He's given with God. So where He is, there will be His people also be with Him forevermore. You see, all these are just wonderful verses that God has tell us in His Word. Look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." No, it's not the verse I was looking for. It's not the verse. You know, I crossed it out and put it, I don't know why I put it back there, but turn to Psalm 147. That's the stuff about those whose names are not written there. Those are the unsaved. But turn to Psalm 147, verse 1 to 5. Psalm 147, verses 1 to 5, there we read, "Praise ye Jehovah, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Jehovah doth build up Jerusalem." He's built up by all the true believers. They are the ones who build up Jerusalem. "And He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars." Now, who are the stars in this context? It's the true believers. He's not speaking about a little star in heaven. He says, He telleth the number of the stars. This is the number of people God is going to save. And he says, he calleth them all by their names. The true believers are in the Bible is known as stars. Christ is also known as stars, but he's telling us he is as a number of people who he's going to save. And he calls them all by their names. He knows every one of his people. And you see the same, Oliver uses verse today, but turn over to Daniel chapter 12. True believers are known as stars in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "And they that be wise," those are God's elect, "shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So the stars in the Bible is, in one sense, is speaking about all the true believers. He calls them all by their names. You see, every one of us, you know, we're individually called by God, and we're secured and safe in Him forevermore. Let's look at another point. Look at the unsaved for a minute. The unsaved in the world. The unsaved. Our security in this world is Christ's salvation. God has He has saved us. He has given us eternal salvation. We're safe and secured in Christ. But the unsaved of the world, they find their security in the things of this life. Their names are not written in the. That's where I should have read Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. But their names are not written in the book of life. Their portion and their lot are in this life. They find their security in riches, in what they have, in all these things, in their monies and their homes and their education and all these things. That's their security. You know, I remember, you know, a lot of years and years ago, I was talking to this person once, and they were looking for a mate, for potential mate, and they were telling me their qualifications, who they're looking for. They want this person to be financially secured. See, they find their security in money, in the things that this person has. The true believer, no, the unsaved, they find their security in this life. And we know according to the Bible that all that we see in this life is vanity. It's vanity. It doesn't bring happiness. They think it does because they have been deceived by it, by the things of this life. But this is all they're going to get. Let's look at Psalm 49. Psalm 49. God tells us about the unsaved. Their lot is in this life, you know, and so forth. But here God tells us in Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7. There we read. Here, this is their trust. It says in verse 6, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them by any means redeem their brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." And God goes on to tell us about the unsaved. They trust in things of this life. This is what they trust in. This is their lot. This is all they're going to get. Look at verse 16. "Be not afraid," you hear God speaking to the true believer. "Be not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away." You know, I was present at the birth of my children. When they were born, if they didn't come into this life with a handful of riches, they came in this world with nothing. And God tells us, it is certain, the unsaved, they're going to leave this world with nothing. Although they amass wealth and they amass riches in this life, yet they will leave this world with nothing, because all this is vanity. This is their trust. This is their security. And he goes on. And verse 17, "When he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. his glory shall not descend after him, though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And God has blessed the unsaved. Beautiful day, give them good health, he gives them riches, and all these things in this life. But this is all they're going to get. This is their trust. It says, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Where is his riches? In the day of judgment in May 21. No matter how much the unsaved man has had in this life, what good will his millions be to him in that day of judgment? It becomes worthless in that day, isn't it? What is he going to buy with it? His mansions, his things he has, what good is it after May 21? It's going to be destroyed right along with everything else. And he goes, he shall go to the generation of his fathers, they shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not. Remember, the unsaved, they don't understand. They don't understand. He is like the beast that perish. He's like an animal. He's going to die like an animal. He will cease to exist in that day of judgment. You see, what good is these things? It's his security. But for the child of God, we have come into the most wonderful blessing there is. Isn't it? We're spiritually in the new kingdom, new heaven and new earth. We'll be there forever, with God forevermore. Wow. What more could you ask for? This life is but for a moment, isn't it? It's only but for a moment. You could be healthy and young, but yet, who could say that the young can't die tonight? Any one of us could. God is in control. You could be young and fit and healthy and muscles and all that. But let a mosquito bite you with the West Nile virus, with a disease, and you're young, teenager, you're young. What if a mosquito should bite you tonight and he's carrying a disease? And before you know it, your health goes down like that. Before you know it, you're in the emergency room. The doctors are trying to administer all kinds of medicine to keep you alive. God had made a decision to take you out. And you're gone. You're dead. God can take any one of us at any given moment. Remember, I used an example. A friend of mine at where I work, she had a 14-year-old son. 14 years old. 14. He was on the basketball field, playing with his friends, you know, shooting some hoops. Everybody, they're kids like that, you know, just playing around. All of a sudden, he fell sick. But before, there was nothing wrong with him. Nothing. He was healthy, healthy as a horse. 14 years old. They rushed him to the hospital. And within, I believe she said about 6 hours, that 14-year-old boy was dead. Just like that. He said, just collapse a little bit on the, you know, collapse on the basketball court. I was having to be talking to his mother, ask him, was he sick? She said no. He had got a scholarship to go to a smart kid too. Got a scholarship to go to the University of Pennsylvania because, you know, if you work for the university, your children could go there for free. He just got a scholarship to go there. Future's bright, making his plans, and yet God had other plans for him. He collapsed on the basketball field and he died. Spoke to his mother. It happened about a year or two ago. She's still in shock. Still can't believe it. So not one of us is guaranteed, but whether the Lord will take us at age 14 or 10 or 20 or 50, if you're a child of God, you're safe and secured in him. You see, not one of us is guaranteed another breath. Let's look at a couple more verses. I've got a little bit more time. Let's look at Psalm 32. That's why the true believers, we don't have to worry about physical death. It's to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. So whether we wake or sleep, we're the Lord. So we don't have anything to worry about. In Psalm 32, start reading at verse 6. Psalm 32, start reading at verse 6. Here he says, God tells us, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayst be found." In a time where he mayst be found. God can be found now. Salvation is still possible. Anyone can be saved. No one is beyond the mercy of God. But God can be found now. You know, the door of salvation is wide open. The time comes when he no longer will be found. You see. "Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him." See, that person is saved from eternal damnation. The floods of water destroyed the flood in Noah's day. But see, the true believer is saved. The floods of water won't come near him because they're safe in Christ forevermore. You see. And it goes on. Verse 7. "Thou art my hiding place." What do we need to be hid from? You have to be hiding from someone. If the police are trying to get you, people run and try to hide. They're hiding from the police. Christ will have to be hidden from the day of judgment, from the wrath of God, which was coming very soon. It says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance." Selah. And God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye." See, God, he hovers over the true believers, you could say, like an eagle. You know, he's there. He's guiding the path of all his people. "Be not as the horse or as the mule which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in Jehovah, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in Jehovah and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." See how safe we are? Tells us, two believers, we are safe in Christ in this hand. And he goes in this hand and says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." He is going to destroy them. But for true believers, they will not be destroyed. Let's look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 5. It says, Psalm 46, verse 1 to 5, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar, thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. And God goes, look down to verse 7, "Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. See, God is our refuge. And God used all these words to tell us how safe we are in him. You know, all these verses. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Is that the verse I'm looking for? I think it is, but I'm not sure. That was the verse I meant to put there. Let's look at another verse. Let's look at another verse. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. Let's pick up, start reading in verse 32 and verse 33. "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearken," and who are the ones who are going to hearken to the word of God? Those who God has given ears to hear, and eyes to see, you see, and a new heart. In verse 33 of Proverbs 1, he says, But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. See, God indwells us when we become saved, and we indwell Him. And we are safe from the fear of evil, which is judgment day. We're safe from it. We won't be harmed by that day. We won't be touched because we're safe in Christ forevermore. Let's look at Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14. It says, where no counsel is, and you know the counsel is the word of God, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, God's word, there is safety. There's safety in God's word because God's word is true. God is faithful to His promises and commitments that He has made in the Bible. And how wonderful that is, that the true believers, and there's many, many, many other verses. God just keep going on and on and on about how safe and secure we are in Christ. So the true believers, yes, although this life can be difficult at best, and one trial after another, and you're the only saved one in your household, and it's difficult to live in those situations. But we go to God, and God knows our situation. You know, He knows it. It's difficult for a wife or a husband to live with each spouse, maybe one not saved. It's difficult. But God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient for whatever situation you are in life, because you think of it. God tells us there in Ephesians, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, another beautiful verse here in Ephesians chapter 2. We only just here for a moment. Here God tells us in verse 6, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, here He says, and has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ. See, when we're saved, we are reigning with Christ. Oh, you can't see it now. He said we're seated with Him in the heavenlies. And how He... how the God is, the blessings just goes on and on with the true believer. We're seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. And very soon, in 6 months to the day, very soon, God's promise to His people have been completed. And all the problems or tribulation in this world will be forgotten. It will be forgotten forevermore. And there's so many verses in there that God has given us all these assurances to tell us. Once I save you, you're mine. You're mine. But just wait. And six months from now, we will be with Christ, His people, and it will be forevermore. This world will be forgotten. Nothing of this world will come into our minds. And it will be completely forgotten. It's worth it to do it God's way. And if any one of us is not truly saved, you don't know you're saved, the door is still open. We could still cry out to God for mercy. He's a God of all comfort. He's a Father of mercies. And He's full of compassion. He's all these things. He's patient. He's kind. And all these things God tells us to tell us about Himself, who He is. That He will not... Remember, when Christ walked the earth and He would heal people, He didn't turn away not even one person. He would heal them. And God is telling us these things, that we should come to Him. He wants us to pray. He wants us to come before Him and plead for mercy, because we know He's gracious and He's merciful. Yeah, let's stop here and... I could keep going on for a little bit longer, but we'll stop here. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Thy word. We thank You, Lord, that...